Welcome back to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 52, and I am Libya, your host. And this week we have returning guests.
Yo, Pete from LA.
Hello, I am Josh from LA.
And this is Allison, also from LA.
Yet no one is here at my house. I had better reception in Vegas. Anyway, let's go on with the news. I have an interesting piece of news, which is there's an ABC pilot called Poe in production, and it's a cop drama, which I would think there's a million of, and I don't really care, except that they have the guy from the show Kings. His name is Egan. Christopher Egan, I believe. He's going to be starring in it, as well as the woman who played Kara in Legend of the Seeker. So,
I cannot think of anyone who looks less like Edgar Allan Poe to play Edgar Allan Poe.
I don't know if he's supposed to be playing Edgar Allan Poe.
Yes, he is. I saw the blurb for it, and he is in. He is the title character.
But isn't it like Edgar Allan Poe, like police detective or forensic detective or something?
Okay, yeah. That makes an interesting twist. But he's really pretty. Does that count?
Well, he's really pretty, but he's really bland looking. So he's
how can he be pretty and bland? You can't have both.
He doesn't
look anything like Edgar Allan Poe. Let's put it that way.
Right. I mean, you know, I could go for someone if they got somebody who was like, you know, pretty but kind of in sort of a weird, interesting way, you know, so you know, kind of in that sort of way. But
if you're gonna do a show about Edgar Allan Poe, you need somebody weird.
Yeah, I mean, you need somebody who's eccentric looking. You could be attractive, but eccentric.
That's true.
And
he's not eccentric.
Bland, just yeah. Pretty blonde and bland.
That's true. I don't know about bland, but he is pretty and blonde.
Speaking of him in Kings, don't get me wrong.
I did, but you know, he is bland.
Yeah.
Speaking of pretty and blonde, ironically, Cary Elwes. I can never say his name.
Elwes.
Is now joining the cast of Wonder Woman.
Yeah, that ain't gonna help it.
Oh, tell us how you really feel, Josh. Don't hold back.
I read that article with the script snippets and wanted to shoot myself.
Well, they could still make changes, though. And actually, I like who they cast as Wonder Woman. I like
that. Oh, so do I. She'd be a great Wonder Woman if it was better written.
They might change the script or it could be changed. You know, they haven't started shooting it yet. Anything's possible.
A lot of times you'll get a pilot and the network will look at the pilot and be like, shoot it again. So
right.
we have no idea what we're going to get.
Well, let's hope that happens because, yeah, what I read was like, oh God, please don't make this show.
It looked pretty dreadful. It really did. It was Wonder Woman lawyer. It really was terrible.
The fact that the script called for her first fight seemed to be set to Single Ladies by Beyonce just made me
Oh, wow. All right. Yeah. Let's move on. The last little thing is I saw a screenshot, and it looks like Jorge Garcia from Lost is going to be on Fringe.
Oh, really?
Cool. Yeah, so that's all I got. I don't have any spoilers or anything. I just thought that was interesting. So, yay, Jorge!
Yay!
All right, let's move on to the shows. And the first show up that we want to talk about is House. And we're not actually going to talk about this week's episode of House. We're going to talk about last week's episode of House because we didn't discuss it last week. And I thought that it's a really good episode and deserves some discussion. The episode was called Two Stories. And it actually reminded me of the episode called Three Stories. Which was way back in like second or third season. And this one was really well told. It did feel a little bit like they were trying to copy what they did back then, but it didn't matter to me.
It was cool to me because I don't even remember that episode. It was that long ago.
Yeah, it was just the way they tell the story, which is they tell it completely out of order and everyone's telling the story. And then, of course, House is lying as he's telling the story.
Yeah.
So that makes it even more interesting because you're trying to figure out, okay, what is he lying about? And why is he lying?
Well, what I liked was that he was telling it to two kids, and one of them was the girl with the black eye. And through, like, the whole episode, I'm going, why? How did she get the black eye? And then, like, they finally tell you, like, about three quarters through the episode.
Yeah, and then you're like, oh. Because you're wondering if it's like her parent or something did it or something crazy. Yeah. And it was very simple. It was like the kid liked her and he hit her
and
in the eye.
Threw a basketball at her face.
No, it was some sort of hockey. It was like
Oh, right. It was floor hockey. Sorry.
Right. So yeah, that was that. So that actually kind of made it slightly cute because he did it because he liked her.
Mm-hmm.
Though giving a girl a black eye is really not a way to show her that you like her.
It's not really up there, you know, in the annals of how to impress a girl.
Yeah, tell that
but
to a
I was impressed, actually, with the performances of the kids. Because normally, I find child actors horribly annoying. And they found two who were actually really good.
Actually,
so I wasn't going through the whole episode going, oh, my God, please get them off the screen. Instead, they were actually very charming.
And
so
I think it offended when they called Pulp Fiction an old movie. It was like, how dare you?
Well, considering they were like 10, of course it's an old.
I don't care.
I actually thought
it's not an old movie.
I thought the kids in the classroom were pretty good too, because I liked that every time they caught House in a lie, he would try to sit.
That one kid referencing the movie that he was referencing.
Right. So he would throw out a, he's like, that's from Pulp Fiction. And he's like, that's from whatever. Like, every time he would tell a lie, the kid would know what story he stole it from.
Yeah.
So that was all.
I just loved how the kids kept wanting to hear House. You know, just every time he'd start to sit down and, you know, one of the other adults would get up to start talking, you know, the kids would be going, no, no.
Well, what I also loved was, like, you had that one other parent who I don't even know what he was, who kept wanting to get up. And then you find out later this is the guy that House rear-ended on the way to school.
And lied to about his information and totally told him his name was Dr. Something or Other.
Right.
And then, it, like, in the middle of the story, he totally darks on himself. That was all pretty good. So I'd say this episode is one of the best ones they had in a while. And it didn't I don't even remember if there was even a case. It was just like...
There was a case, but, you know, it really didn't matter.
No, it just faded into the background. It wasn't that important.
Yeah, it was more about House in that classroom and House sitting outside the principal's office in both places telling two stories and lying in both situations and you trying to unravel it all.
All right. Very well done episode.
Yes.
Very
well done. Thumbs up.
Yes.
Next thing we want to talk about is the two-parter Castle. Last week we talked about the first part. This week we have the conclusion. So what you guys
before we get to the actual castle thing, can I add, as a person who is not on the castle train, my own two cents before you go into this?
Surely.
I've heard how awesome Castle is, and I love Firefly, and I like Nathan Fillion. So I decided on Hulu to watch a few episodes of Castle because Libby had told me that, unlike, you know, Fringe or something, it's not like the kind of show that you have to watch it from the very beginning. So I started watching it, and I got to say, I think it's okay. Like, I like Nathan Fillion, but I think the girl is kind of generic. I think the world's very generic. I think it feels very Casey. And I'm surprised that as a big novel guy, he never talks about being a writer. Now, I said all this to Libya, and she said, well, actually, maybe you should go back, because all the things you're talking about, they do address in the first couple seasons.
Yeah,
so
there's a lot of episodes of him getting into his writer stuff.
Yeah, so maybe, actually, I'm just saying, for anybody out there, if they're curious about Castle, it sounds like you probably should start from the beginning, because this big two-parter you guys are about to talk about, I tried watching, I couldn't even get through it, because I don't really care about anybody. Like, and again, I'm sure if I watched it from the beginning, it would mean more to me, but it just wasn't, and I don't think it's terrible.
It's not so much that it has a continuing storyline that you need to follow, but it does sort of draw you into the world a little bit more fully, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Castle is episodic. It's not one of those shows that depends on an arc, but their relationship absolutely has evolved over the seasons. So the way that they were in the first season is nowhere near the way their characters are now. That has changed. And you have to appreciate that by going back to the episodes at the beginning, you know, and watch the way the characters have evolved through the years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this episode that you're about to talk about has a scene where the two of them are, you know, freezing in this frozen locker where they might die. And clearly, I'm supposed to feel the, oh, they're kind of close and they obviously mean more to each other. But it doesn't really mean anything to me because I'm just like, you know what I mean? I didn't see that progression.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was all I wanted to say.
So yes, you've answered your own question. Go back to the beginning. Anyway, so let's talk about the episode quickly, which is, as we talked about, basically it's the whole terrorist bomber, but they're not terrorists. It's all a ploy plot. But all that stuff is kind of like, you know, it's secondary.
I thought it was kind of interesting how, like, it wasn't terrorists. It was, like, a military guy who was trying to shock the nation back into caring about the war
They were terrorists. They were homegrown terrorists. That was the point. Like, they were, you know,
but what I'm saying is, like,
American terrorists.
Like, it wasn't generic terrorists like you'd expect.
Yeah, well, they weren't, like, foreign terrorists. That was the point.
Yeah. Which I thought was a nice twist because I'm like, don't see that on 24.
Exactly. I like that.
Actually,
twist.
We did see that on 24.
I knew you were going to say that.
We did see that on 24. And that was actually one of the things I brought up with Libby. I was like, yes, once again, it's the guy who wants to scare the nation. We've totally seen that. But all right.
All right. So, but the good stuff about the episode was mainly Beckett and Castle. As their relationship goes through ups and downs and stuff like that. And this episode really did a lot to get them closer. And you're thinking, okay, this is going to be the big payoff. They're going to get closer. And no.
Well, they're kind of like Mulder and Scully in that way where it's like you want them to get together, but then you know if they ever do, it's going to destroy everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be the end of the series right there.
Yeah.
Except that I never wanted Mulder and Scully to get together, but that's just me.
You look at X-Files as an example because when Mulder and Scully finally did get together, the show went way downhill.
Well, that didn't happen until literally the end of the show, like the last episode.
It happened like maybe two seasons from the end.
Yeah, well, they left that this minute. Anyway, we're off topic.
Yeah, well, then off he topic. Got abducted, and that was, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And then we got his dog and Reyes, really, and everything just went to hell.
All right,
you
off topic.
You can't maintain the kind of chemistry that they've got and have a romantic relationship. It has to stay at that level.
I will say that I think it's worked on Fringe. Fringe is kind of like that too, and I've been okay with it so far.
That's true. Very good point.
Yeah, but this isn't Fringe.
No, it's not. It's not. I'm just saying that whole will they or won't they work on that
as much on their relationship, I would say.
But I really, really enjoyed the episode. I thought the whole way it was structured, the way they ratcheted up the tension, I thought it was just fantastic. And I loved Adrian Pasdar in it. I thought they cast him perfect.
Yeah, he was great.
He was terrific. You know, if you're going to do a cameo in something, this was a great, great cameo to do. I thought they used him perfectly.
We were talking earlier about how I guess he was supposed to be cast as Castle's old friend from two episodes ago. And
I'm
glad
he turned that down. This was a much better role.
Totally.
It was a meatier role. He got to really do stuff and show off what he can do in this. And I just thought the whole thing was terrific. And the payoff at the end where Castle just is staring at all the cords and just rips them right out was brilliant.
I love that. It's like, that's what I would do if facing that situation. It's like, okay, I've got 1 second left to live. I'm just going to yank. What the hell could happen?
Really? I mean, it's going to blow up no matter what, so why not?
Yeah, exactly.
It was fabulous. I loved it.
And I liked how they were getting medals for saving the day, and they were like, yeah, we're not going to tell anybody that it was complete luck.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good episode. Thumbs up. Castle rocked this week. Even though I usually, my usual contention is if Castle does a serious episode, it's not very good, except this broke that mold, because it was.
Yeah,
definitely. And lately this season, when they do serious episodes, they've been pretty good.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to White Collar. This was, I believe Josh said it was a body swapping episode, but it's
the closest White Collar's ever going to get to a body swapping episode.
Right, it was basically Caffrey introduces himself as Peter and has to maintain that he's Peter for the entire episode, and so he pretty much pretends to be Peter. And then,
and in contrast, Peter now has to pretend to be Capri.
Right. And he basically, they kind of both suck at being the other person, but it's really amusing to watch them try.
Yeah. Like, I think my favorite moments are when Capri is with Peter's wife, whose name I can never remember. And how he's like, how they're like so awkwardly trying to pretend that they're a married couple.
while Peter's watching them.
Yeah.
Yes, that was like awkward hug. Yes, that was all pretty good. And I like the fact that they had to teach Peter how to lift stuff out of people's pockets and stuff like that. And they're like, he's like, this is impossible. Because they put the little bells on the jacket and everything.
Yeah.
So all of that was all good. Though I'm not sure I believe that he could be trained to pick a lock and pickpocket somebody in one day.
Like, well, no.
Because I'm assuming that takes a little bit of skill.
I'm willing to suspend the disbelief on that just because it's Peter and he's awesome.
Yeah, that's true. So I thought this was one of the better episodes. It was really good. And it didn't have anything to do with Kate. I'm so tired of that storyline, which unfortunately the finale is all about. I must get revenge on Kate.
Whatever. Yeah, I'm actually kind of glad that Capri is no longer pining and moping over Kate as much.
I agree. So, I like the original episodes that have nothing to do with that.
I'm really more interested in like finding out what this antenna that Mozzie is building is actually going to do.
Yeah, that could be interesting. I agree. All right, so one more episode of White Collar until we break for the summer. Yay! All right, next we're going to talk about a show I don't think we've talked about yet on this podcast. And that is Parenthood, and since I have never seen the show, I shall fade to the background. Go.
take it, Peter. I've been watching Parenthood. You know, Parenthood and Modern Family are both shows with the same premise, except one's a comedy and one's a drama, and Modern Family obviously is great and very popular and everything, and Parenthood, I think, has just been kind of chugging along. You know, it's got Lauren Graham from Gilmore Girls, and it's got a pretty good cast. The guy from Craig T. Nelson, and it's if you've never seen the show and you've seen the cheesy the commercials on NBC, I mean, it pretty much is that kind of show. It's a family drama, probably like maybe Brothers and Sisters. But I have to say, it's now in its second season, and these last few episodes, and Josh, I know you watch it too. Really think have been really good. You know, they have a kid who has Asperger's syndrome. And that's been getting pretty interesting. They have
I was just going to interject that I really have been... I've been enjoying it from the very first episode. And these past few episodes, I agree. Like, the way they've been sort of developing Max's Asperger's. And we finally had the episode where they had to tell him that he had Asperger's.
He doesn't know that he has Asperger's. And it kind of comes out in fights and everything.
Mm-hmm. Having to do with a whole other storyline with Crosby cheating on his fiance.
Which I love that the title of that episode, it was something like, "Don't sleep with your nephew's autistic teacher," or some guidance counselor, or something like that, right?
I didn't even know it had a title.
But I mean, you know, no. I've liked the show since it started, but these last few episodes have been so, like, characters yelling at each other and confronting and a lot of tears, and I found myself so emotionally swept up, even though it is, you know, it's a family drama. It's not like they're doing something I haven't seen before, but I don't know, just the performances, it's all working really well. Like, it's really moving me.
It really is. Like, you're right. There is something about it where, like, I actually found myself week to week sort of reluctantly watching it because I knew that there was going to be a fight and it was going to upset me.
Right.
Like watching my own family fight.
I also think, too, that in the last few episodes, except for the kid with Asperger's, it feels like they've been downplaying the more teenager characters. Because I'd say a lot of the show we're dealing with, the girl who was on she was on Bionic Woman and Arrested Development, and I don't know where the other teenagers are from, but we actually haven't been dealing with them recently, so maybe that's why it's a little stronger for me, too. It's more the adults' situations.
Yeah, we had that one story with Haley, the daughter, dating that other guy. I think his name is Alex, who works at the food bank.
Right. Oh, that's another thing. And he's from Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, and so is the counselor who Crosby sleeps with.
Right. So it's interesting because I was wondering, I'm like, I wonder if they share – and because they're both NBC shows, I wonder if they share a producer. Because it was weird that I was like, oh, that person's from Friday Night Lights, and that person's from Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, Jason Kadams is the producer on both of them.
Ah, there you go. But yeah, anyways,
which also explains why it's so good, because Friday Night Lights is like the only show about football that I enjoy.
Yeah, I've been trying to get through the last season, and I love that show too. But anyways, just to wrap up, sounds like Josh and I are both on the same page. I think it's a terrific show, and it's not, you know, sci-fi action oriented or anything. But Libya, you know, I don't know about Allison. I'm not sure what kind of shows you like particularly, but Libya, I definitely think you watch so many shows, but I definitely think you would like it.
Yes, yeah. I'm trying to figure out. I remember when it first came out, and I think I didn't have a spot for it on my TiVo, and now it's just like, I'm behind.
Yeah. So. When we get to a break, I highly recommend just, like, catching up on it, because it really is a very worthwhile show that's sort of been under the radar.
Mm. All right. Yeah. All right, next up, we want to talk about NCIS very quickly. I don't even want to talk about the case, because the case, whatever, is not important. What I want to talk about is the continuing conspiracy of whatever the heck is going on with the big boss as far as what Vance is doing. Because I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago. We were like, Vance is acting like the team is the enemy, and we don't know why. And right. We kind of have this continuing thing this week where we've got this new agent that's come in with her team.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that means.
There's like this whole specter over the office of like, are we all going to be laid off, or is something going to happen to us?
Right. And people are packing up their offices, and it's just all weird. I'm like, what the heck is about to happen? And they just added another piece. Now, for some reason, because this woman took the job that Tony was originally offered, now he feels the need to sleep with her. Or it's Tony and women, and he just needs to sleep with her. I don't know.
I think it's just because she's a pretty woman, and Tony's like, must sleep with it.
Yes, and I like the fact that Gibbs saw where Tony was going, and he, like, gave him the warning, which is, you know, it's rule number 12, I believe, which is never sleep with a coworker.
Okay.
That was why he was like, and that's why he was like, oh, I'm breaking the rules, because he's talking about Gibbs' rules.
Oh, okay. That part I didn't pick up on, just because I'm not as well-versed in Gibbs' rules.
You must know them all. Memorize them.
But this is still the only full season I've watched.
I know. But that's why I was giving you that information. But I'm not quite sure how I feel about her being on the show. I'm not sure how many episodes she's going to be on. And I kept thinking she was going to be evil, like, through the whole episode. I was waiting for her to do something.
She did kind of have that evil vibe, but at the same time, it's only one episode. She wasn't really in it that strongly, so I'm willing to see where it goes.
Oh, yeah. I definitely want to see where it goes, because obviously it's going somewhere. I just don't know where. Mm-hmm. All right. That's all I need to talk about for NCIS. Yep. Next up is V. This episode was pretty big. What do you guys think?
Hello?
I said, what did you guys think?
Oh, what did I think? I thought it was awesome. That's about all I can say right now. I'm just sort of, like, still processing everything in my head.
Well, basically, this was Erica's big shot at now, because I think the episode was called Heavy is the Head, and it's basically Heavy is the Head that wears the crown or whatever. And so it's Erica's first foray as being the leader while she's, you know, not last week was all about her gaining the leadership, and now she has it, and this is her big plot.
This is like her having to prove herself now.
Right. And her plan actually wasn't a bad plan. It just was very...
Except for that whole not working part.
Yeah, the whole not working part. And it was a little callous.
It was callous, but I think this is like where she was trying to distinguish herself from Eli by creating a much more surgical attack.
Right.
Almost literally.
Right.
Yeah, and the thing is, you can't keep pussyfooting around. I mean, that's what's been driving me crazy about everything that they do, is that, you know, you can't keep saying, oh, well, we can't involve innocent people, we can't kill people. No, it's a war. You can involve innocent people. People
it's going
die.
To happen.
Right.
And, like, that's sort of, like, where I'm really starting to get annoyed by Jack, because he is so on this, you cannot kill anybody other than V's.
Well, like, he's a priest. What do you expect? You really think?
I know, but like.
Well, he's a priest, but you know, remember, he was also a military chaplain. He's been in war before. He should understand in war people die. And if he doesn't understand that, then maybe he shouldn't be doing this anymore.
I think that's where he's at right now. I think he's at the point of reconsidering whether he should be doing this.
Yeah, because, I mean, and that's the thing. If he can't do this, then maybe he should walk away, because he's getting ridiculous, you know, telling people, well, we shouldn't do this when we shouldn't do that. Well, yeah, they should. If they're revolutionaries, they have to kind of, you know, go out and fight. That's what revolutionaries do.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not arguing with you guys. I think
they're portraying him unrealistically. Either he's going to do it or he's got to
I think
they had like a really good opportunity in this episode to have a really powerful scene between him and Erica, and they just sort of didn't do it.
Kept having him whine at her.
They kept having him whine at her, but I think it would have been much more powerful if Erica had shot back saying something like, of course the fact that these people died kills me inside, but I don't have the luxury of feeling bad about it.
Right.
Which is true.
I was waiting for her to say something like that, and it never happened, and it really sort of upset me.
I actually liked her confrontation with him. I liked the fact that she lied to him, too, because because you guys are saying it's not in character, but it's... Jack has been consistent from day one. Yeah. This is Jack's character.
You're right. And
the fact that she knew that she had to lie to him to get him to do the mission tells that that's his character. And then he's like, all right, no more lying. And she's like, fine, okay, we're not going to lie to you anymore, but this is what we have to do. And I do think he's at the point where he's trying to decide whether he can do the things that are required of him. And that's where he's stuck at right now. And that's where that's his spot right now. And I think that's interesting. Because everybody's not made out for this kind of war. And the fact that he's actually thinking about, is this what I can do? Can I do this? I think that's very valid.
Yeah, but, you know, at the same time, it's like, how could he not have imagined that this is what this takes? I mean, it just makes him look kind of dumb.
I don't think so. I really don't. I really think that his character, from the very beginning, him and Erica were both on the no civilians will be killed. They were on the same boat, same page from day one until like two episodes ago. And then Erica totally flipped. So now Erica's on the killing whoever's necessary to get the job done. She totally changed.
Like I said, it just seems totally unrealistic that you could do this kind of thing and say, oh, well, nobody's going to get killed. I mean, I always thought that that was just completely naive and stupid of the both of them.
And I agree with that. And like I would have Libby's argument if it weren't for the fact that we've established that Jack has been a wartime chaplain in theater.
Exactly. Right. He's seen this kind of thing.
He should know better.
I know, but he hasn't been the one... Because the difference is before is he was a soldier following orders, and before they
He's
were kind of...
He's still a soldier following orders.
No, that's right. No, because if you look at the episodes before, they were kind of doing stuff by committee. They would sit around and go, okay... This is what we want to do. Is that all right? Okay. But you know, they
that,
all...
That dynamic has changed now that we have a worldwide network.
I understand
and
that.
Everybody is on board with that except Jack. And the fact that he is not on board with it, having had military experience and knowing this, is what I find to be...
No, but the thing is you guys are all assuming that... You guys are all reacting to him like this has been the case from day one, but it hasn't. Everything changed in the last two episodes. And now Jack is having a problem with the fact that... And also, Erica has changed in the last two episodes. So he's having, I actually think, a very valid reaction to all the changes that have happened. And he's trying to get his mind around it. And he has
what I'm saying is that he would have a valid reaction to this if he was just some sweet little priest who's never been in war before.
Yeah,
but as
my
was
point.
Pointed out, he's a combat veteran. He's been in war. He should understand these things.
He should understand this better than the civilians who are instantly on board with what Eric is doing.
Exactly. And by the way, as far as this episode is concerned, can I just say that Hobbs can take his shirt off?
I was wondering when we were going to get to that.
Well, I was actually just thinking that because I was like, there's this moment where you know, they're doing the whole triangle. You don't know if Erica's going to be with Jack or if she's going to be with Hobbs, and it's going back and forth, but Hobbs understands her, blah, blah, blah. And then they have the scene where they kind of kiss, and they're like, is that a mistake? And then they kiss again, and they're like, I don't know. And then he takes his shirt off, and they have this moment where they're standing apart from each other, and you're like, are they really going to do this? I was like, have you just seen this man with his shirt off? Like, I was like, once he took his shirt off, there was no more question.
Oh, my God. As if I get a vote, he would not wear anything but a tiny little thong for the rest of the series. Oh, my.
Okay, now before we move on, can we talk a little bit about what's going on the mothership?
Really quickly, we only have like a minute.
Okay, Diana.
Right.
Is she or is she not evil?
She is evil. She has her own agenda. She doesn't really care about the humans. She wants to take the ship.
Okay, thank you. This is the big argument I've been having with my friends.
No, she wants power back. She wants the ship back.
Every time someone's not looking at her, she has that sneaky little smile. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, she wants to be out of the freaking basement. That's all that's going on.
Yeah, I've just been having this big argument with my friends about how, like, listen, Diana is going to turn her back on Earth the first instance she gets. And they're like, no, she has a soul. She has emotions. She's fighting for humans now. I'm like, no, she's not.
No. It's all about...
She has emotions. Evil emotions.
She's going to stand up for Earth.
No, she wants control. Once she gets control back, it's all good.
Yeah, exactly. And quite frankly, I'm all for it because Diana, still awesome.
Oh, and I did like the fact that now that Anna's second in command knows that Diana's still alive, that look on his face.
That was awesome.
I was like, ooh. That's going to be interesting. All right, let's move on. The next show we want to talk about is Modern Family.
I liked it. That was pretty funny. I always try to watch Modern Family at least twice. This one was good. And of course, I'm a big Phil fan. So Phil ended up basically in the beginning of the episode, they find out that they have a day at the spa that's about to expire. And so he ends up taking it. And it was very funny. And I think you, as I recall, the other plot is that Mitch and Cam, is it Cam? Cam finds out that Lily's last name isn't hyphenated.
Right. That was
which is funny because Julia actually thought that it was deliberate, but it was because Mitch was going to be superficial and doesn't like hyphens.
Oh.
And of course, I had already seen it, and I was like, oh, well, that's not what it is. But, you know.
I thought it was actually a mistake and that it was just Cam blowing things out of proportion again. And then when Mitchell confessed to it and gave, like, a really solid reasoning behind it, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, that was actually, for a comedy, they veered into drama and emotion very severely. That's why I really like the plot, because you're laughing 1 minute at Cameron being hysterical and just being a drama queen to where there's actual real emotion and real thought and real hurt feelings going on.
Yeah. And what was it? Coco and what was the name of the monkeys?
I do not remember.
He's like, why are they monkeys? Because I can draw monkeys. Yeah.
I really like that storyline. That one was the best one and the highlight for me for the episode because I was almost teary-eyed and laughing at the same time. So that, to me, thumbs up.
And as people from LA, nice shout out that I was like, they use they go to the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. That's where the mausoleum was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was so bizarre. It was like the whole mausoleum thing. I just thought that was just really fantastic and creepy at the same time with the whole drawers and selling somebody drawers and I can't sell you our drawer because, you know, she's younger than you and she might remarry and decide to be buried somewhere else and then I have a stranger next to me. I was like, what the heck? Who thinks like this? You know, like,
apparently those people.
Oh, that was so weird. And I liked Glory.
It was really creepy. Like after a little point, I was like, Jay, don't do this.
Yeah. And I liked Gloria's idea. She was like, I just want to be put in the ground. I was like, I totally agree with that.
But I still liked Jay's final solution to it. It was like, just burn me, put me in a coffee can and place me on the mantle. Then I'll mess with everybody forever.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. I like that too.
All right. Next show we want to talk about is Mr. Sunshine. This week's episode is the return of Jorge Garcia, because somebody last week was like, oh, he's only on one episode, but he was on this one. It was called Hostile Work Environment, and I actually...
No, it wasn't a hostile work environment. It was a passive-aggressive work environment.
Wow. Yeah, everybody at that job, like, I couldn't work there, man. Everybody was mean and irritable and revenge-seeking.
Yeah. Although, I think my favorite moments were Allison Janney's character trying to set up a double date with with them, and how, like, she's talking, like, well, I figured you brothers all know each other, and, like, constantly saying stuff like that, and they're just freaking out because they think she's just being blatantly, horribly racist. Well, and it turns out she's dating one of his old frat brothers.
Right.
Right, because she is pretty insensitive.
Right,
but
yeah.
I knew it was something, but I couldn't figure out what it was. I was like, okay, clearly it's not what we think it is, but because of that character, you know? And I like when they're like, are you trying to grow an afro? And she's like, no, it's just hot because of the air conditioning.
Right.
Oh, and then the whole, you know, coming up with people's names, I knew that when he was writing that stuff down on the cards, I was like, those cards are going to get out.
Yeah.
Like, you knew
he gave them to Smiley McHappy Pants to take care of.
Well, what was also great is that he was like, I don't know your names, I'm going to just call you all Steve. And the guy was like, my name is Steve. Well, that's a happy coincidence.
Well, it's your lucky day.
So all of that, and then they were just like, we refuse to work for you if you call us all Steve. That was all pretty good. And then his whole, like, when he goes like, oh, I'm going to fix the air conditioning myself, and he has a wrench, and I was like, oh, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
But my
whole issue with it was like, okay, aren't these guys sweating and dying too? Why aren't they fixing the air conditioning just to make themselves feel better?
Because they knew that it would sub, that's their leverage, though.
That's their leverage. And also, once the name thing they came out, then they're pretty mad.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so, anyway, I think the show is actually getting into its rhythm. I mean, this is only the third or fourth episode, and it's shaping up pretty nicely.
I love that girl from Better Off Ted. She's great.
Oh, me too. Andrea Anders, she's great.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
I mean, she's playing essentially the same character she played in Better Off Ted, but I'm okay with that.
Oh, yeah, but I'm totally okay with it, too. And I like seeing the West Wing people. I like seeing Matthew Perry and Allison Janney together.
Yeah.
I mean, no, it's not the greatest show ever, but I would agree with Libya. Look, it's only its third episode. They're getting their rhythm. I like it. Yeah. Fun show.
I'm enjoying it. Yeah.
Moving on, the next show we want to talk about is Justified. And this week's episode was kind of a standalone and not at the same time. We had the whole, you know, I forgot her name, the agent.
I don't think I ever knew her name.
I don't think so either, but her brother-in-law killed her sister, not really, but in her opinion, killed her sister, so they have to go get him back. And I have to say, that whole conversation where he's talking to his, because he's living in like a halfway house or something.
Right,
the guy is giving him so much grief, I was like, I might have hit that guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he was really coming down on him pretty hard. I was like, this, you know, there's one thing about being a supervising officer and like trying to enforce discipline, and there's another where you're just like being mean.
Right. Like, he knows that's the guy's son's birthday, really? Because he didn't clean the bathroom. He's like, I'll clean it right now. He's like, I'm sorry, I thought I was on kitchen duty. I'll clean it right now. And the dude's like, nope, you already screwed up. And I was like, are you kidding me? And then at the end, he kind of comes off as like, oh, well, I really care about you guys, so I didn't call the police. And I'm like, no, you're still a jerk.
Yeah, he really is kind of a jerk. And yeah, I mean, it kind of like shocked me when he suddenly grabbed the phone and started beating him senseless with it. But at the same time, I was like, you know what? You kind of earned that one.
Yeah, I agree. So I actually didn't feel like he was such a bad guy up until like he shot his friend who wouldn't give him a ride. And I was like, okay, that's a little extreme.
Yeah. shot him in his hand after he told him he was going to become a magician. I was like, wow, that's just mean.
Yeah, that was a little much. I was like, dude, take the bus. Really? Okay.
Yeah.
And
all of this just to give his kid a knockoff Furby.
Right. I thought as a standalone episode, it was entertaining, but I have to say the thing that really got me excited was the whole thing with Boyd at the end.
Yeah.
like the other guys who are trying to be bank robbers or whatever keep trying to propose a deal to him, and he keeps turning them down. He keeps turning them down. And then at the very end, they're like, well, what if we did this robbery and you not
like
only...
Like you came out the hero or something.
Yeah, you came out the hero. And my first thought when they said that, I was like, dude, you're being set up. You're the fall guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, I mean...
And then you see Boyd sort of, like, give them a considering look. I was like, oh, no.
I was like, dude, you have to think you are the fall guy because you have the criminal record. You've pulled all these other robberies. They're going to pull the robbery, leave you holding the bag. You go to jail.
Yeah.
But the only thing is, I actually think Boyd is smart enough to figure that out. I really think so.
Like, I have a feeling that Boyd is probably going to get involved and pull some kind of crazy double cross.
Right. And that's what I'm hoping for, because he's not as dumb as they think he is.
No, definitely not.
And my other thing is, if they had all this, all because originally they were like, oh, we need you to plan this. But as they give him more details, they've already planned everything. So what do they need him for? You know? So I'm like, oh, you're the fall guy, dude. But anyway, Justified, thumbs up this week. It was a good episode. They keep them coming. All right, next show we want to talk about is Supernatural. And this week's episode was Killabalooza.
Yeah, everybody dies. You get to die.
Wow, like every reoccurring character that they've had in the last couple seasons just X'd.
Yeah.
Wow. And I
think it's really, really getting thin in the cast list here.
I predicted that Rufus wasn't going to make it, but I swear, man, Mitch Pileggi.
I thought Samuel was going to make it to the end.
I really did too. Cause I was like, cause they had the moment where he's got the gun on Samuel and he was threatening to shoot him. And I was like, shoot him in the arm. He freaking shoots him in the head. I was like,
I know.
What?
Like, I'm staring at the screen going, you know, it didn't have to be a kill shot.
Thank you. All he was trying to do
would have been okay.
All he was trying to do was get him to back up. You know, if you want somebody to back up, you don't have to shoot him in the head. So, so I was really like very stunned and surprised from the headshot.
It's like, are you sure you got that soul screwed in there tight?
Yeah,
today was an off day. I switched it off just for today.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming. And the Rufus thing, I didn't know. I kept thinking he was the one that was controlled. You know, like when he started hesitating, not wanting to get shocked, I was like, oh, it's in him. And then it's like, it's not in him. All right. And I really didn't realize it was in Bobby. And I was like, oh, that's not good. And then Rufus immediately gets killed, like right next. And I was like, holy crap. And then they're like, oh, and we're going to kill Bobby too. And I was like, no.
Yeah, like, at that point, I was like, are they actually going to kill Bobby?
I mean, well, they killed everybody else in the friggin' episode.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they come back from commercial, and the first thing you see is they're staring over a grave.
Right. And I'm like, okay, Bobby's not dead. That's probably Rufus or somebody.
Yeah. Oh, and they killed the cousin, too. They literally killed, everyone. I was like, holy crap.
And, like, in complete cold blood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
I mean, that came out of nowhere. That I'm just sitting there looking at the screen going, what?
Yeah,
that was fantastic. And it was a good tense episode. We got a little movement on the arc, which was the mother of all is not only, because they were like saying that there's nothing that's new, that everything is just really old and we haven't seen it before. But now
we have the creature that created everything now on Earth and creating new stuff for us to mess with.
Right, exactly. So I was like, oh, that's even scarier because it's like, they kind of know from history and whatever how to kill the old stuff. They can look it up, look at old texts, read, you know, translations, blah, blah, blah. But not if the mother of all is going up making stuff up now, you know? It's like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
You know? They actually...
It's like, yeah, all bets are off. And, like, I just loved all the discussions they were having. Like, this is new. And they're like, no, nothing can be new.
Yeah, but it is. And I also like that they literally stumbled across a solution to kill it. Like, if they hadn't accidentally done that, they would have been screwed.
Yeah.
So,
like, double killing Samuel by throwing him into the frayed wires.
Yeah, and that's the trip. He got to be killed twice. And I was like, oh, Mitch.
Like, well, you know, if you're going to kill Special Agent Skinner, you might as well do it twice.
From an actor's point of view, though, that's golden. You know? Two death scenes in one show.
Both of them very gruesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
And then the preview, we don't get another Supernatural for like a month. Something like that.
No.
So boo on that.
And that preview was completely incomprehensible.
I have no idea what's going to... Yeah, that preview was...
I didn't even see it, so I don't even know.
The preview was great.
You didn't miss anything. I looked at that and went, what?
I rewound it and watched it. I rewound it, watched it a couple times, and I got nothing more out of it other than it was a bunch of crazy sound effects to random clips. It made absolutely no sense, but it was still kind of fun to look at. All right. Next thing we want to talk about is Being Human UK. And this is the third episode, and I like to call it Being Human Crosses Walking Dead.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite episodes they've ever done. I love this episode so much.
It was a combination. Like, I was so glad that I wasn't eating at one point.
It was kind of gruesome, yeah.
Well, because I was literally about to get my dinner, and I was thinking, I was like, oh, I can pause and get my dinner, and then something happened. I was like, oh, like, I was so glad I wasn't eating. It was when the zombie started peeling off her toenails.
Oh, that
was so gruesome. And then I like the fact that they're like, she's dead, but she's in her body and she's decaying. They're like, what is that? And then George is like, zombie?
Yeah, and they're like, are we really going to call her that? What I liked about it even more was, like, this was sort of tied to when Mitchell went into purgatory to get... Mm-hmm. Annie out, and like there was like, this is the consequence for messing with death,
mm-hmm. right? Because
it left
true.
The door open, and instead of people passing through, they just kind of put everything on pause.
Well, no, it closed the door, so people couldn't come. The souls that were in the bodies couldn't
move on.
They got blocked.
They couldn't leave the body,
right? And so that's why you got four people at that time. All ended up in their bodies, and so they became zombies until their bodies decayed and just, ew, gross.
Yeah.
But what I loved about this episode, and I got to tell you that this was the episode that actually made me stop watching The American Being Human, because it just kind of solidified for me everything that works so well about the UK being human, which is the relationships between all the characters,
yeah,
and how they just work so well together, and how it's the chemistry and the friendships that just make this show work, and how the characters are so strong and the bonding between them is so strong, and how none of that exists in the U.S. being human at all. I mean, just little things and little lines that just tell you so much about the characters, like George just walking absolutely lost through the house, saying, you know, I just got up to pee.
And all these things happen.
So great.
Well, what's also great was they dealt with unwanted pregnancy in a very unique and interesting way.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I thought that, like, all the little storylines, and I'm finally glad, that Annie and Mitchell are finally together, even though I'm sure that's going to hit a big freaking roadblock as soon as she finds out.
You can see it coming. You can see it.
But, I mean, I understood why he didn't tell her. I mean, I think he should have told her, and he tried to tell her, and she stopped him, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
So that's all.
Like, as much as she's willing to forgive him, I'm like, I don't think you'd be willing to forgive this.
Right, and that's what he's terrified.
This kind of goes beyond the pale, yeah.
And he's absolutely terrified that she's not going to forgive that, which is why he should have told her, but he's terrified of telling her. So all of that kind of goes together. And that creepy sycophant guy that was just following him around. Was just,
oh, God, yeah.
That was just bizarre. I was like, who are you?
You know, and I will come clean. I am on the British schedule. I've been following this on BBC, not BBC America. So I know where this is.
Oh, thank God.
And
so am I. I can finally let it out.
Yeah, we can't. No discussion of UK schedule.
My name is Allison, and I am on the British schedule. I confess. But yeah, this is going nowhere good. I'm not going to give any spoilers, but the payoff for this is awesome.
Well,
we'll be talking about that later. Yeah.
Well, this show is really dark, especially starting, like, first season wasn't that dark, but by the time you got into second season was pretty dark. And yes, I could tell each season progressively has been getting darker and darker, and I love it.
And this season is definitely getting darker.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And that's fine with me. I actually resisted watching the next episode because I'm staying on schedule.
Okay.
Staying on schedule.
But where this is going is pretty awesome. And yeah, he's creepy as hell. Mm-hmm. This episode was so awesome to me, and I was a mess at the end of it. I mean, they took this character who was just so irritating at the beginning.
I know.
You know, like, you just want her to go away like they do when she's outside screaming at the door. And but by
she's one of those people like, there is nothing good about you.
Exactly. And by the
even when you were alive.
Yeah, by the end of it, though, I was just, you know, crying and you know, going, oh, she's dead.
It was such a touching death scene, and it was and just heartbreaking at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I mean, but that's the thing. They take you in with the characters, and they make them, you know, whole people and make you care about them. And that was, that's what I love about this show. So that by the end of the episode, when they bring you to the end of her journey, you actually feel for her, and she's become a complete person to you. And so I really, really, you know, was just totally there for her by the end of the episode. And, you know, for the other characters, you know, when they finally reached where they got to with the baby, you know, made the decision there, you know, and
that was so incredible. Just like hearing Nina's story about that.
Yeah.
About like her own upbringing and why she's terrified of having a child herself. And I was like, wow.
And it explains so much about her character too.
It really does.
I thought thumbs up, really good episode. I am excited about the next ones. I cannot wait. Mm-hmm. All right, that wraps up this podcast. Do you guys have any closing comments?
Stargate Universe, the final 10 episodes, starts on Monday.
Yes, it does.
And I shall be watching.
Me too.
And that's it for us. So remember, you can send your feedback at tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at tvcampfire, and we're on Facebook. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Later.
Bye. Bye-bye.